Good morning, Rabbosai. Welcome back to Torah Way. Apologies for the late start, but in the words of King Henry VIII, to each of his wives, I won't keep you long. Rabbosai, I had some telephone calls yesterday after yesterday's halacha, so I want to try and clarify a little bit this question of Yikum Purkon when you're davening at home. So the Siddurim say that you can say the first one, you don't say the second Yikum Purkon, and you don't say the Misha Berach that follows Yikum Purkon if you're davening at home. But you can say the first one. The reason for that is because the first one is talking in the third person. The first Yikum Purkon is talking in the third person. It's talking about Lemaronon, Verabonon, Chavaroso, Kadishoso, Dibabovel, and Eretz Yisrael, etc. It's talking about Chachomim and Talmide Chachomim and Yidden who are living away from here, so to speak, the people in Eretz Yisrael, the people in other communities, etc. So therefore, I can daven for those people even if I'm sitting at home. I can daven for the Yidden Eretz Yisrael, for the Talmidei Chachomim and Bovel, no problem at all. The second Yikum Purkon is in the second person. It's talking about the people, the Chol Kahala Kadisha Hodein. It's talking about this community, this Kehilo. Yeah, and the Misha Berach is also speaking. Yivorach Eskol Hakol Hakodosh Hazeh. So we built the second Misha Berach, the second Yikum Purkon, and the Misha Berach are talking specifically about this Kehila or this Tzibur. Then if I'm not in the Tzibur, then I can't say those. If I'm davening privately, then I can't speak about Kol Kadisha Ordain, and I can't speak about Eskol Hakol Hakodosh Hazeh in Kol Kolos Hakodosh. Therefore, that's the reason why. But obviously, that only helps us that I can say the first Yikum Purkon because it's speaking outside the Kehila, and I'm outside, I'm not within the actual Tzibur at the time. The second two apply to the Tzibur, therefore I can't say them. But that does not address the question of the second Yikum Purkon being written in Aramaic. About the second Yikum Purkon is written in Lashon Arami, L'choyer, there should be a reason not to say it. And that's the diuk, that there should be a reason not to say the second Yikum Purkon, not even to say the first Yikum Purkon. Because although it's not speaking about Kol HaKadosh Ordain, but it is written in Lashon Arami. And therefore, L'choyer, one shouldn't say that either. The Siddurim don't say that. The diuk that they have is in the Mishnah Berurah. The Mishnah Berurah says, "Shaloi loima shum yikum purkon." So shum yikum purkon means that it's mashma from the Mishnah Berurah that he would hold you shouldn't say any of the yikum purkons. What? We'll talk about Bechidus. Somebody who's davening at home shouldn't say. In Shul, you can say all three, no problem. Yeah, but if you're at home, then according to the Mashmos of the Mishnah Berurah is you shouldn't have said either of them, because even the first Yikum Purkon, which is not talking about Kahola Kadish Ordain, is still written in Lashon Arami. It's not Tefillah.
We're only talking about Tefillahs.
Started the Torah Way in Northwest London, Tuesday, Ches Tishri, 30th September, Moreno Harav, David Tumit HaShlita, Hidur Mitzvah. This week's Torah has been sponsored in Nishmas, Rabbi Yosef Dov Ben Rabbi Shimon Michal Tzvi Itzkovitz, Zichron of Rachel, devoted founder and organizer of Star Day of the Torah Way in London, Golders Green, with his Chus HaShvim Vachalim Vamilchama, Sheyach Zeru Levotayim Lesholom Bim Heiro.
Amen. So, as was said, this is of course the Ilnishmas, Yedidenu, Rav Dudi Iskovitz, Zichreinu Levracha, who would call all of the Rabbonim up, and even when we weren't able to give a Torah away shir, he'd say, "So when can you give it?" And he'd keep on calling. And he would really bring out the best in everybody. And we miss him very, very much. He's Neshomush Tevin Ali, he's Zichrei Baruch. The topic I'd like to speak about, B'siyata Dishmaya, is the topic of Hidur Mitzvah. Let's make a link to Yom Kippur. It says in the third Perek of Mesilas Yeshorim, brings the Gemara in Erevin Daf Yud Gimel, that says, Nayach L'Odom Shlei Nevra V'achar, Shenevra Yefashvesh B'maisav Yeshem B'mashmish B'masav. The Gemara tells us over there that a person has to do two things to their actions, Yefashvesh and Yemashmesh. Yefashvesh, explains the Mesilas Yeshorim, is to see which of our actions are good and which of our actions are not so good. Yemashmesh is, even in the actions that we're doing which are good, can we do them better? Is there anything, even in our good actions, that is lacking? So, of course, Hiddur Mitzvah is something that, as we go towards the Yom HaDin, would be a very, very big zuchus to try and ensure that the things that we're doing, that we are already doing, should be done betachlis HaHiddur in the best possible way. The main body of the Shia, Be'ez Hashem, will be a famous Maisa with Reb Chaim Briska, where he was presented with two Esroigim, one of which was definitely kosher, but it didn't really look so nice. And the other one was a poster boy Esrog that looked absolutely stunning. However, there was a Shaila whether it was actually kosher at all. So that will be the main body of the Shia. But let us start from the beginning. The Makayor for Hiddur Mitzvah is the Gemara Masechta Shabbos, Daf Kuf Lamed Gimel, Omud Beis. The Sanya Zeh Keli V'Anveihu. There's a posuk in the Shira. This is my Hashem V'Anveihu. And I will do things beautifully for him. His noilafon of mitzvahs. V'anveihu, Chazal say, in this understanding, is to do mitzvahs beautifully in front of Hashem. A seilafon of sukkah noir, make a nice sukkah of lulav noir, nice lulav of shayfa noir, tzitzis noir, according to one girsa, a talis noir, also sefer Torah noir, make a beautiful sefer Torah, v'kosav by lishmoy b'dyoy noir, and write in it that it should be lishmo, it should be with beautiful ink, b'kulmus noir, with a lovely quill. Belavlar Uman with an expert sefer of a keicher b'shiroim noyim and wrap it up in beautiful silks. Agav, a small halacha dicker point, is there any inyan to have a nice esrog box? When I was growing up, you were already starting to see nice esrog boxes, but the lulav boxes were all the same. They were all the cardboard boxes. Now you see all these beautiful esrog boxes made out of all different sorts of, and lulav cases as well. A lamineham with diamonds and fur and all these different sorts of things. Is there any inyan at all to have a nice lulav box or esrog box? So this was asked to Reb Chaim Kanievsky Zatzal. Is it just an inyan in chivuv hamitzvah, which is a nice thing to do something that shows you love the mitzvah, or is it actually a fulfillment of Zeh Keli V'Anveihu? This is my Hashem, and I will glorify him, Misnoilafon of mitzvahs. There's big discussion exactly back and forth, but the bottom line is that he wanted to say that since it says you should write with a lavlar uman, with an expert sofa, and with lovely ink, so the fact that it says kulmus noir, that your quill should also be nice, he wants to say from here, it doesn't mean that it will write nicely, but anyway it would be written nicely because you've got an expert sofa, a wonderful scribe. So the fact that it says kulmus noir, he wanted to bring as a proof that even the accessories for the mitzvah that are even associated with it, even shalei b'shas, the kiyum of the mitzvah, he wanted to say that this is a din, not just in chivva mitzvah, but to have a nice esrog box would also be actually a fulfillment of Hiddur Mitzvah, that this beautifies the mitzvah, even though the esrog box is not actually being used at the time of the fulfillment of the mitzvah. There's a discussion whether this is actually a bona fide drosha min ha-tayra. Some Rishonim say that it is min ha-tayra, derived in Sukkah Yud Gimel and others, whereas Tosfos in Menachos Mem Aleph Amud Beis and others say that it is derabbanon, and there's the Maran ben Choviv that says that be'ikah be'yosayid, it's d'oraisa, but the Torah gave the Rabbanon the power to decide which hidurim are just l'chatchila and which ones are actually imperative. How much is a person supposed to spend minimally on hidur mitzvah? The Gemara says in Baba Kama Daf Tes Omud Beis Omer Bizera behidur mitzvah ad shlish b'mitzvah. So one should add up to a third minimally on the mitzvah. And again, a machlois exactly how to work out this third. Is it in size? Is it in price? Is it milagavo? Is it milabar? Some say that if, let's say, for argument's sake, the basic estrog would cost £30. So then some say that milagav, you take a third of 30, which is 10, and you add that on to the basic price, and that ideally one should go up to £40. Others say it's milabar, which would be that you split the price of £30 in two, and you add on a third portion externally, which would be not £40, but £45, as a basic fulfillment of the Hiddur Mitzvah. Let us go to our discussion regarding this Maisa with Reb Chaim Briska. He was presented with two Esroigim by one of his Talmidim. One of the Esroigim was a Yanava Esrog. A Yanava Esrog comes from Italy, from Calibra, Calabria region of Italy, and especially the Hasidei Chabad very, very much go for the Yanava Esrogim, because the Shulchan Aruch Harav, the Baal HaTanya, he speaks very, very highly of the Yanava Esrogim. He says that you can be absolutely sure these are authentic Esrogim that were never murkav, they were never grafted with anything else. And Rishonim tell us that the halacha is you have to have an Esrog that isn't grafted with anything else. So the Yanava, you can be absolutely sure. In fact, the Mishnah Berurah in Siman Tof Reish Mem Ches specifically speaks about a Yanava Esrog and says from the Chasam Sefer that everyone should get a Yanava Esrog or another Esrog like it that has absolute, very, very good pedigree that you know that this is a kosher Esrog. So one Esrog was presented to the Reb Chaim Briska was a Yanava Esrog, but it didn't look so nice. Then there was another Esrog that was presented to him, which was from Corfu, exotic Corfu. And the Corfu Esrogim look mamish beautiful. A poster boy Esrog, the sort you'd have on the front of the Mishpacha magazine. Beautiful, beautiful Esrog, and it's stunning. However, there's a big debate whether the Esrogim from Corfu were even kosher. You see, Corfu, for 100 years, that was the main source of Esrogim in Europe. However, these Corfu Esrogim were so beautiful and were so hardy and robust, the trees, that there was a big debate whether they were actually real bona fide Esrogim, and in fact, there were many who said that their mamish posel, the Beis Meir, in his Tshuvah Stand of Aruch Chaim, it says their mamish posel, they're definitely grafted. Others, the Beis Ephraim, Aruch Chaim Nunvov, actually quoted also in the Shari Tshuvah, Tofresh Memtes Zion, they say, no, that it is okay, and that the Corfu Esrogim are okay after all. So any time a person had a Corfu Esrog, this was a big sophic, whether it's kosher or not. Beautiful, but not necessarily kosher. I was preparing this this shiur. I happened to speak to a friend of mine, the Choshev Rovich daughter of Herschel Hager. And we were speaking on Erev Shabbos. And I mentioned to him, and this is a topic I'm giving a shiur in. He said, this is very, very interesting Hashgacha Protis. Because you know who was the Talmud who presented these Esrogim to Reb Chaim Briska? It was my mother's father, whose name was Rav Yehuda Leib, Don Yechia, who was a Talmud of Reb Chaim Briska, and he was the one actually in this Maisa, and he was able to tell me, to corroborate the facts in this Maisa. What did Reb Chaim Briska do? Which Esrog did he take? So this is famous in the annals of Brisk. What he did was he took the one from Corfu first. He made the bracha on the Tilas Lulav. He took the Corfu Esrog first, and only afterwards did he take the one which we were sure was kosher. Now, why was that? The reason is because there's a yesod that is brought out in the Teiras Brisk, the Beis Alevi, Reb Chaim Briska, the Chiddush Yagriz, the Briskarov. They say that there's no concept of doing a hidur mitzvah after you've actually fulfilled the mitzvah. You can only fulfill a hidur if you're doing it at the actual time when you're doing the mitzvah. So if you take the Corfu Esrog, if it's taka kosher, then you've got a hidur mitzvah. Yeah? If it's not kosher, okay, so then you move on afterwards straight away to take the Yanava Esrog, which was definitely kosher. Yeah? If you would take So if you would take the Yanava Esrog first, so you've definitely fulfilled the mitzvah, but there's no possibility of doing a hidur over here because there's not a Mehuda Esrog. If afterwards you would then wave your Corfu Esrog, well, there's no point, because there's no such thing as doing a hidur after you fulfill the mitzvah. It's not like tefillin, every moment you've got the tefillin on, you're doing a mitzvah. When it comes to Arba Minim, you do it and it's done. So therefore, he wanted to make sure he did it with a hidur. Some of the Hashuvim over here are asking, what about Brocha Levatola? Surely there's a Hefsek over here on the chance that the first Esrog is no good. So surely there's a Brocha Levatola. We'll come back to that with Tzvi Pesach Frank's Kasha on what Reb Chaim Briska did. A very, very excellent point. We'll come back to that, but Be'ez Hashem. Where did he get this from, that you can't have a hidur mitzvah, a standalone hidur mitzvah? So he gets it from a discussion on Shabbos Daf Chuf Lamed Gimel regarding the famous Tzitzin Ma'akvin and Tzitzin She'ena Ma'akvin. There's a discussion in the Gemara. If you have a moil, and the moil is busy doing his bris milah, so if a person cut a majority of the area, then that is considered the imperative part of the bris milah. As long as one is still involved, so the Gemara says, you can continue and do the rest of the trimming, the minor parts of it, which were not imperative, called the tzitzin she'en ma'akvin, the strands that are not imperative. As long as you're still doing the tzitzin ha'ma'akvin, the core part, then you can continue trimming away. However, the Gemara says, once you have finished, pirush, once you've finished doing the tzitzin ha'ma'akvin, the core part, then you can't go back to do the rest. Now, when is this talking about? Is this specifically speaking about Shabbos, or is it speaking about the rest of the week as well? So the Rambam actually doesn't say that it's speaking about Shabbos. According to the Rambam, this is true whether it's Shabbos or whether it's during the week. And this is what he says in Hilchas Mila, Beis Dalet, that this is true whether it's Shabbos or not. Once you've finished, you've finished. Once you've done the core, then you don't go back to do the minor additional parts, which are a hiddur. So you see that the Rambam is holding that you can only trim away the extra bits. Maybe it will be a chavolah, an injuring. Otherwise, there's only any point to doing a hiddur. It's actually at the time of the core mitzvah. Once you finish that core mitzvah, so then there's no point in doing the hiddur anymore. The Torah argues in Siman Reish Samach Dalet and says no, that this is only true on Shabbos because of the Issa Malacha of Chavala on Shabbos, of causing injury on Shabbos, drawing blood on Shabbos. If it's during the week, then you can. So the Beis Halevi understands that that what's going on over here is the debate between the two of them is whether you can have a hiddur, a standalone hiddur mitzvah. Now, actually, the Beis Halevi wants to say that they all agree that you can't do the hiddur after the mitzvah. You can only do a hiddur at the time of the mitzvah. The whole machloikas is whether the mitzvah of mila is a one-off mitzvah like arba minim, or whether it's a mitzvah nimshaches, whether it's a continual mitzvah. The fact that a person is mohol, they are circumcised, and but he wants to say they all agree that actually you cannot do a hiddur after the mitzvah. There is a briskerov, famously based on the sugya of Chanukah in Tofrei Shayin Aleph and Arachayim, where it speaks about the machlokes Machaba and Ramah, who is the one who's lighting the Mahadrin Min HaMahadrin? Is it that the Balabayis is the only one who lights the Neiris, which is the way the Rambam understands it, or is it the way like the Ramah and other Rishonim that everybody else also lights the Neiris? So the Briska Rav wants to say that's also Leshitosayahu, that the Rambam says that you can only do a mitzvah, a hiddur at the time you're doing the core mitzvah. When you're doing the tzitzin, then you can do the tzitzin ma'akvin, then you can do the others. And so too, the Balabayis, who's lighting the menorah, he is the one who lights all of the additional Neiris, whereas the Ramah would say, no, you can even do standalone hiddur, the tzitzin she'en ma'akvin, even at a later point, and so too, it can be the other Bnei Bayis who were lighting the menorah, even though they were not the core Bala Bayis who started off the mitzvah. So this is a big discussion in whether you can have a standalone hiddur. Says Reb Chaim Briska, I have to do the core fu esrog first, because if I've done the yanava esrog, back to Arba Aminim now, we just did a bit of tzitzin and of bris milah, and then we flew on to Chanukah, and now we're back to the Arba Aminim. Says Reb Chaim Briska, you should take the Korfu Esrog first, because once you've done the Yanava Esrog, it's game over. You've finished. You've done the mitzvah. And therefore there would be no point in now doing it again with a mehuda Esrog. Now there are a number of attacks on this Reb Chaim Briska. We'll go through them one by one, but Be'ezus Hashem. One attack on this idea that you should first take the Yanava Esrog and then the Korfu Esrog. Yeah. Sorry, the Korfu Esrog and then the Yanava Esrog. One of these attacks can be found in Ramesh Sternbach Sefer and in the Mikroi, the Moedim Muzmanim. Okay, in Moedim Muzmanim, Chele Beis, Simon Kuf Yud Ches, Ramesh Sternbach asks a very, very strong question against this. He says, you know why you're doing the Korfu, beautiful poster boy Esrog first? Because you want to make sure that it's done behidur. Who says that the hidur is having a pretty esrog? Maybe the hidur is to do a bona fide mitzvah, a mitzvah min hamuvcha, to do the mitzvah in the most optimum way. Maybe that is a hidur. And he brings a number of rayas where the Gemara says that to do a mitzvah in the optimum way, that is also zeh keli v'anveyu. For example, Pesachim Daf Tzadi Tes, where it speaks about going into Pesach with an appetite for your matzah. It's not that it's a more pretty matzah, it's that you're doing the mitzvah, min hamuvcha, if you're having the matzah when you're hungry, says Rashi. So too, he brings other rayas in Sukkot Daf Yud Aleph, about the lulav needs igud, it needs binding together, for zeh keli v'anveyu. It's not that it looks prettier when it's bound together, it's just it's a lakicha tama. It's that you're taking it nicely together, you're doing the mitzvah min hamuvcha. Yeah, and also ksav al gabei sav in Gittin daf kaf. You can't have if it's written shleishmo and then you write again on top because it's not the best way of doing it. It's you need zeh keli v'anveyu. Zeh keli v'anveyu doesn't mean it looks nicer. It means the whole thing is written lishmo. So basically, he brings these three proofs to say that part of hidur mitzvah is to do the mitzvah mina muvcha in the nicest possible way. That is zeh keli v'anveyu. So maybe he asked the Rav Chaim Briska, you should be taking the Yanava Esrog, and then you know you've done your mitzvah, and that would be the mitzvah min amuvcha. So he answers, he himself gives a defense. Rav Sternbach says that we can still understand why Rav Chaim Briska chose to make sure to have the pretty Esrog, the Korfu Esrog first, and that overrode the idea of what we have said, surely to do a mitzvah min hamuvcha means to one that you'd get it kosher. And he discusses this idea of doing a mitzvah min hamuvcha, making sure that you get it right. Yeah, making sure that you've done the mitzvah properly. He says,
that's not a hidur.
Huh?
If the kofu is possible, it's not a hidur.
Right, if kofu is possible, then surely, how can you call it a hidur, what he's doing? So he wants to say the idea of doing a mitzvah min hamuvcha in the finest way. Is that a din in the gavra or is that a din in the chefza? Is it a din that the person should do it in the nicest possible way? Well, he's shaking two sets of arbabin, he's shaking two lovim, so if it's a hidur in the person, he's making sure he's doing it properly. If it's a hidur in the chefza, that the first esrog that he's taking, you want to know that it's a mitzvah min hamuvcha, you want to know this is the nicest one. So he wants to say that this still is a mitzvah min hamuvcha. The first esrog, the korfu one, might not be kosher. Well, it's not that this is a chefza about which there's a sofek. He says there's only a chisorin yediyah. You just don't know. It may well be that this esrog is mamish kosher and mahadrin. Yeah. So the chefza of the mitzvah itself is a mitzvah min hamuvcha. It's a mitzvah min hamuvcha. You just don't happen to know because there's a machlokes. Are they really grafted or are they not really grafted? But because it's a chisorin in the yediyah, just because you don't know, that doesn't detract from the fact that if this is the right one, then it's a mitzvah min hamuvcha to do the nicer one first. And even though it might not be kosher, but it's just that you don't know. But as a whether it's the gavra or the chefza, it's still a mitzvah min hamuvcha. That's what he wants to say. It's a subtle svara. Let's go to the second attack that there was on Reb Chaim Briska, and this is a very powerful attack, and this is what Mikroi Kodesh, or Tzvi Pesach Frank, in Sukkos, Chelek Beis, Ois Tes, has a very, very powerful attack against Reb Chaim Briska, and he says that, listen, what about Brocha Levatzola? Brocha Levatzola, as you asked, you're making the Brocha on Esrog number one. If Esrog number one is in fact not kosher, then who says that brocha will also work for Esrog number two? Yeah? So surely there's a hefsuk. You're shaking what might be a banana. You're shaking what might be a banana, and then afterwards you're shaking a kosher Esrog. So surely there's a hefsuk. So he says, so they say, okay, maybe you want to say it's only a hefsuk if you speak. Maybe only there's a hefsuk. Yeah? But no, he brings two proofs. The Tzvi Pesach Frank brings two proofs that even a Maisa can be a hefsuk. One proof is the Prima Godim, Mishpatei Zov, Reishut Beis, where he says, if you make a brocha brei pri hagofen, and then instead of drinking the wine, someone brings you a rogel, you get all excited, and you eat the mezonos. He says, you've then got to make another brei pri hagofen on your wine, even though you didn't say anything, because you've done an act of eating when you'd made a brei pri hagofen on the wine, so an act can also be a hefsuk. Maybe you could answer that and say that they're two completely separate things. One is a brit priyag offered on wine, and one is an act on eating a rogel. Whereas over here, you're making a bracha on estrog number one. It might not be that that's an estrog, but maybe that's not a hefsuk, because I'm involved in the whole time in estrogim. He brings another very, very powerful...
Is there a possibility to take both of them?
No, you can't take both of them at the same time. You need to have... You need to have...
Yeah, you hold it together.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But the big, big question on Rav Chaim Briska is from Erevin Dafnun, where... So stay with me over here. It's concerning Maisa Behemo. We're moving to Maisa Behemo now. So the animals would go through the pen, and the tenth one, you'd put some paint on, and you'd say Asiri, and this becomes Maisa Behema, and this will become a Korban, and you do Tanufa, Smicha, this is Maisa Behema. The Gemara says, in Erevin Dafnun, Im Yotsu Shnayim Bo Asiri, V'Kairin Asiri. So two animals came out, when it came to number 10, two came through at the exact same time, and he's called them both number 10. The Gemara says, Asiri V'Achadasem Muroven Zebazet. So there's a mixture. They're mixed up now. And Rashi says, "V'libi Omer she'ene mevorach al atznufa v'al asmicha d'lo lehav a bracha levatolo." You can't make a bracha on these mitzvahs of the waving of the smicha because it would be a bracha levatolo. Says Reb Tzvi Pesach Frank, "You see over here, you cannot make a bracha on your masa behema when you're not sure: is it number 10? Is it number 11? Yeah." And you make the bracha before you do the various different parts of the korban, you can't say that this works on 10 and 11. Rashi says it will be a bracha of atala. So Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank says this is a knockout punch. Because what you have over here is if you make a bracha, that bracha will not automatically to apply to one sofek thing and one vadai thing. And in fact, this was told over to the Rogachova, and as a result of that, the Rogachova said he disagreed with what Rav Chaim Briska did, and so too said Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank, and the mainstream halacha of the Pashtus would be not like Rav Chaim Briska did, they say because of this. Yeah? They say this is such a powerful raya. Maybe Linnaeus Dati, B'Sel Deshvaya, you could defend Rav Chaim Briska's practice over here by saying as follows. That our case, where you make a bracha on the Korfu Esrog and then the Yanava Esrog, and Reb Chaim Briska says it's not a bracha levatala, is completely different to the case of the Masa Behema. Because with the Masa Behema, 10 and 11 came out at the same time. V'koiron Asiri, he's called both of them Asiri. They both have an identity crisis. They're both pogum. Each of them is not fit really to do it because they're a mixture. Each one is a mixture of 10 and of number 10 and number 11. So that's why it's no good. My Sheikh and Prime Briska over here would say, this is not Hefsuk, I'm making a brach on the Tila Sulav. I take Esrog A, I take Esrog B. If Esrog A is not the right one, but I'm still involved in the mitzvah, so it will apply to Esrog B, because they're shyer to the mitzvah, as opposed to the case of Masa Behema. Just so therefore we can, so what we have seen so far is the reason why Reb Chaim Briska did the Korfu Esrog first, because he holds there's no such thing as a standalone Hidor. If you've done the mitzvah with the Yanava Esrog, then you wouldn't be able to do it again afterwards in an even nicer way, because the Hidor always has to be tied to it, like we saw from the Tzitzin, and like we saw from the Rambam in Hilchas Chanukah. We asked a question on Reb Chaim Briska. Question number one was Ramesha Sternbochswan, which is surely it's a Hidor to do a mitzvah min amuvcha, yeah? Which he himself defended Reb Chaim Briska and said that no, this is still considered a mitzvah min amuvcha, even though you're not sure whether it's the Gav or whether it's the Chavta, it's still a mitzvah min amuvcha. We then asked the second question of Reb Chaim Briska from Brocha Levatola, from Tzvi Pesach Frank and the Rogachova, from Masa Behema, and we've brought B'siad Dishmai a chiluk between the two of them, why it is that Reb Chaim Briska would do what he did. Just like to close with one final idea, we said the Gemara in Baba Kama Daf Tes says Ad Shlish, that the core amount you're supposed to do in addition is a Shlish. Where do we get that from? It's very hard to find the makayr of where it should be. Maybe it's just this is what Chazal determined. But I'd like to share with you B'siad Dishmaya, a B'nai Yisoscha. The B'nai Yisoscha says, and it's based on Yerushalmi in Kelayim, Peirches Halacha Beis, which says that originally there was one horse per wagon, and then there was a second horse per wagon, and Faroi added a third horse per chariot. That originally he put Yosef on the second on the Mirkeves HaMishnah. So that is related to the fact Mishnah Shnayim that there were two wheels. Omat Paroi says the Yerushalmi Kilayim v'oso sholosh. The way we learn Hidur Mitzvah from, which was Zekeli Vandeyu in the Shira. So that's also where we learn Hidur Mitzvah is up to a shlish, because there were two wheels and he added a third wheel because he had such hatred for Klal Yisrael and he wanted to be able to go and get them. Now, it seems very much clearly from here, this only works if it's Milabar. If you take an additional wheel, you had two, and that goes to three. That's milabar. That's adding. That's basically making it 150%. Yeah, which is milabar. I said this over to my son Yehuda, Kenai Nahara, and he said, no, you can also work the milagav because you had the driver, and you had. Sorry, did I say a wheel? I meant horses. Yeah. Originally, you had a horse, then you had two horses, and he added a third horse. Forgive me. Yeah. But Sholi Shimal Kolo is that he had three horses. So. Yes, he added a third horse, but there was also a rider. So before there was a rider and two horses, and now there's a rider and three horses. So you could say it's a shlish milagav as well, that it's 133% that he added. But says the Bnei Yisoschar, that you see that Pharaoh had such hatred, such anti-Semitism. He was so driven to destroy Klal Yisrael that he was willing to be Mahader and to push himself further to destroy Klal Yisrael. What we do when we see, and this is very relevant, of course, for Heintike Zeit and what's going on in the world, Hashem Yerachim and Amo Beis Yisrael, that when we see there's such anti-Semitism, there's such Sinas Yisrael, there's such an Alma the Shikra, where people think that we're the ones, the Klal Yisrael are the ones who are the guilty ones. So what is our response to such a thing? So we're told that our response is to say to the Rebbeinu Shalom, they work so hard to come and get us, we're going to work so hard to show how much we love you. And we're going to be mahader in our mitzvahs. And that's the source, says the Bnei Yisoschar, of Hidur Mitzvah. He wrote saying, wishing everybody a gemar chasim ha-toiva, a good bench to ziseyor, yimale Hashem kol mishnah lisubeinu le-toiva, we should be zoicha, to be mahader in all of our mitzvahs. They should be kosher, and they should be mehuda, and we should be zoicha. The gulis and yeshuas m'sheh tzim kein, we have your main or amen.
From Han Holton. So, of all places. Chauffeur, sucker, something. So the first one was just taking us over the water. So it got a bit muddy, get a bit dirty. Didn't make it smooth, didn't have to go down. The fountain, there's water, there's fruit, then shouldn't have to do that. He went over. So we went over, that's what we do in our mitzvahs. That's what I thought about the ship.
It's a wet scene in this one.